1 Timothy 1:18, according to the prophecies that have gone on thee, that by them thou mightest war a good warfare. So you must war a good warfare with the prophetic word given to you. The Bible says in Psalm 57 verse 2, I love that Psalm, Psalm 57 verse 2, it says, I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. May the God that performeth all things for you, may you call upon him. Say amen. And today I go on number three. The third key to hasten your manifestation is to confess the prophetic word into manifestation, is to confess the prophetic word. Not only should you have faith, not only should you pray, you must also confess it. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 20. The Bible said, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. May the fruit of your mouth bring you satisfaction and manifestation. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. So that what you are saying matters a lot. Say amen. The book of Proverbs chapter number 12 verse 14. Proverbs 12, 14. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. And the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. So a man shall be satisfied. In other words, there shall be a manifestation that will bring you satisfaction by the fruit of your mouth. Your mouth plays a major role. The power of the tongue. The Bible says death and life lies in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat of the fruit of it thereof. Which means that what you are saying matters a lot. Say, I hear you, Pastor. Now, not only what you are saying, but there must be a harmony. This is very important, people. There must be a harmony between what you are saying and what you are thinking. Say amen. What you are saying, what you are thinking, and what you are doing, all the three should harmonize. Otherwise, you can be saying something, but your actions are fighting what you are saying. Your actions. You are confessing that this year is my year of manifestation. This is my year of my manifestation. But your action is doing contrary to what your mouth is saying. And your heart is believing something else. So the three should harmonize. What you are saying must be in agreement with what you are thinking. And what you are thinking must also be in agreement with what you are doing. The three should be like triplets dressed in the same dress. Have you seen triplets dressed? There's a certain gentleman here who had triplets. And anytime they are coming to church, they dress the three children alike. They all look alike. They dress the same way. You can see that they are in harmony. They are all in harmony. Am I talking to somebody here? So what you are saying must agree with your thought patterns. Must agree with what is in your heart. Must also agree with your actions. What you are doing. You are believing God to marry this year. Which is a very beautiful thing. You are believing God to marry this year. Because you are 32 years, you are not married. It is not a good thing. Because by 32 years, you should have your three children. You should have married at 24. But in church, Rehusa has made all the good guys run away. So now you are believing God that this year you will marry. Say amen. But you are still thinking that men are bad. Men are bad. man, these boys, they are not correct. And your action is repelling guys away from you. Anytime you see a guy approaching, you say, oh, here then, maybe I don't have time for such nonsense. So you see, what your mouth is saying is totally against the way you are thinking. And your body language repels guys away from you. How can there be a manifestation? Say amen. So, our confessions are not just saying the thing. You must act what you are confessing. You have a piece of land. You bought it 19 Kojohoho. The land has been lying in the bush. People have built all over the place except your plot. But this year, you are telling yourself that I will build my dream house. So if you say that I will build my dream house, then look for the architect to design your house. Because you don't just build with your mouth. An architect must design the house for you. Then I've showed you a couple of architects in the house. So approach them. I have a plot. I have two plots. 100 by 100 or 100 by 120 or 70 by 80, two of them in a certain place. And I want you to design. And then say what design you have in your heart. I want 5 bedroom. I want 2 garages because my wife and I will have separate cars. And I want a study attached to my bedroom so that I can go and be studying. I want a prayer room. Describe all. And then the architect will now design it. So what you have said is now back with what you are doing. You have gone to the architect, pay some money. And then move to site and clear the land. Say amen. Clear the land. And now your mind should tell you that this year I am breaking grounds. Say amen. And then now you must, this is very important, you must discipline yourself with your expenditure pattern. Because sometimes you have foolishly spent a lot of money on things that are not in harmony with what you want to do. Cut down on useless expenses. Stop buying shoes. Stop buying credits that are not necessary. Stop so many things. And now put some discipline in your expenditures. So that not only are you confessing that I will build my house this year, you are acting it. You are putting yourself in a strategic position where God will say, now you are ready to build. That is when the supply comes in. And I tell you, many people have built houses. If you walk to them and say, how did you build this house? They will tell you, I don't know how I built the house. They'll tell you, I don't know how I built this house. So many people have built houses. I don't know how I built the house. That is how you are going. But if you are thinking about the price of cement, thinking about the price of stones and labor cost and all that, and you are allowing these expenditures to now cloud your mind, you will confess something and act contrary. But your mind must overcome the hindrances. And you must act it. And when you are acting, my dear, you have to act by faith. You have to act by faith. And faith sometimes is not something that is palatable. Say amen. And then tell your wife, who always wants to eat pochopo every day. He wants nenchinam. He wants preconchar. He wants, you know, said that, look, let's go by Abobi. Bobby Taddy. Say amen. Let's control what we are eating. Everybody who has built before will tell you that they put some measures in their lives. Yeah. So you cannot live a very paltry life. Spend on friends, still go to big chop bars and order half a goat. Half goat. With your friends. Self no mame. And order half a carton of beer. And drink whiskey. And you still think you can build a house? It doesn't work that way. It will shock you how rich people behave. Very frugal and very prudent. It will surprise you. Rich people, you think that they are spending foolishly. The man who has had a lot of millions, he follows every penny. It is poor people who have got some small money who are jumping over the place and ordering half a goat. I never knew that you can order half a goat at a sitting. So this year, tell your beautiful wife, honey, we are cutting down on certain things. You be in Kosia 3 times a week. Now you're Bobby Daddy. Say amen. And live simple. You have enough clothes. Please, for the next 2 years, don't sew any new clothes anymore. People don't know that you are even repeating your clothes, your shoes and everything. Tell the children, we want to build our own house. We are tired of paying rent. So that your actions must harmonize with your confession. And I tell you, heaven will help you. Once God sees the determination on your part, you see God helping you. Say hallelujah. So you must still maintain your confession when you are down. Your mood should not change your confession. Say amen. Your mood should not affect what you are saying. Don't confess the mood. Confess what God has said. When your circumstances change, am I talking to somebody here? When your circumstances changes, it shouldn't change your confession. The circumstances around you can change, but you must still maintain what you are saying, that I will build my dream house this year. Look, at the time when you want to build your dream house, that is when your boss said, we are cutting down on staff. So we are laying off half of the staff. And then unfortunately, you fell within those they are cutting down. But your confession should not change, because all things are working together for your good. Because you cannot use salary to build a house. You must use income. That means the thing is coming from everywhere. So God is taking you away from 1,200 salary a month to bring you to a place where you are having income from everywhere. So the sack, you know, is to sack you so you can enter your rest in income. So when you are believing God for something and your circumstances or the circumstances around you changes, your confession must be the same. I'm marrying this year. I'm building my house this year. I'm building my company this year. Say amen. You have maintained your confession. And let me tell you something. The loss of a member of the family still should not change your confession. An uncle dies. Your mother dies. My mother died, my father died. Did I tell you about the guy whose mother died 3 times? Yeah. The death of your mother, the death of your father should not change what you want to do. As soon as there is death, honey, I don't think I can build this house because this funeral is on me. Why do you confess that it's on you? Are you the only one that your father gave birth to? Believe God to do the funeral with the help of others. And if you don't take care, the funeral will bring you more profit than loss. You don't know God, eh? He can shock you. So still maintain your confession when your circumstances changes. When the economy changes, still maintain your confession. When the current president releases power to another government, it should still not change your confession. Because God's word is eternal. Numbers 23 verse 19. The Bible said, God is not a man that he should lie. Look at it. For God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should recant, repent, or retract. Has he said and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken and shall he not make it good? Is God going to change his mind because your circumstances changed? Or situation changed? Or politically things changed? No. God is constant. He's the constant equation. He's the constant number in the equation. Okay, is that the way to say it? He's the constant number in the equation. It doesn't change. You know that when you are solving mathematics, sometimes they say the variables change. Some will go out. Some will come in, but there are some numbers that doesn't change. They are constant. They stay throughout the equation. God is the one that stays throughout. The variables may change, but God is constant. Oh, am I talking to somebody? Yeah. Cato is a mathematician. He went to university to do mathematics. That's why I'm talking to him. He's a mathematician. Only that he left the mathematics. He came and lied on this altar. He came and lied, and Stanley told me that. There is a guy coming here every day lying on this altar. I think this guy wants to work for God. I said, bring him here. That's how come Kato started working in this office. He was lying here every day for how many days? By a month. He wouldn't talk to anybody. He would just come and lie at the altar. Pray, sir, from morning till evening, and then go back home. Then they will come the following day, come and pray, sir, and go back home. And Stanley said, there is a guy lying on this altar every day. That's how come Kate is already working. He was constant. Say amen. Today is the resident pastor of this beautiful church. A man who, he finished the university, instead of going to look for a job, he refused to go and look for a job. He came and laid at the altar. He said, he finished the university with first class in mathematics. Very smart guy. But he refused to go and look for a job at the bank. He said, I want to work for God. And he came and laid at the altar for about a month until Pastor Stanley saw him and said, this guy wants something here. And he brought him to my office. See, man, are you there? The Bible says in Jeremiah 33 verse 14. Jeremiah 33 verse 14. Look at it. Behold, the days come. And these are the days. These are the days. The days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. I will perform that good thing. So you must have a good thing going for which God must perform. And you must say it. And say it again. And say it again. This is my year of manifestation. This is the year that four things will manifest in my life. Number one, my marriage will manifest. Number two, I will have twins like Steve and Stanley. And I will name them after Steve and Stanley. You must say it. And then after you have confessed it, approach me and let me give you the key to having twins. There is a secret key. We have 9 set of twins in this church. 9 or 10 set of twins. Ask them how they got the twins. It's a secret code. See me in chambers. And I'll tell you 2 things you must perform in my house and Pastor Stanley's house, then the two of us will lay hands on you, then you get the twins. It doesn't just happen. You must back your confession with action. Are you there? Look at this scripture. Joshua 21 verse 45. I love this scripture. Joshua 21 verse 45. He says, "They fear not out of any good thing. They failed not out of any good thing which the Lord has spoken unto the house of Israel." All came to pass. All includes your vision. It's including what you have said. It's including the thing that God has said to you. All shall come to pass. And I will confess it. I will think it and act it until I see the manifestation. This year, you shall see the manifestation of that which God has spoken to you. Say amen. The next key number what for, is that you must continue to execute your duties faithfully whilst waiting for the manifestation. You shouldn't stop what you are doing for the Lord. You shouldn't stop. Are you singing? Are you a worshiper? Are you a drummer? Are you a trumpeter? Are you a chorister? Are you whatever? I heard a testimony yesterday. You know, I came from Nigeria yesterday, and I heard a testimony, very beautiful testimony. There was a guy who was a drummer at the age of 19, and now he's 55 years old. And he's prospered. He's prospered and still drumming. He was drumming for the church, believing God for great prosperity. Say amen. And then he was drumming and drumming and drumming and playing the drums for the church for a long time. And the Lord blessed him. When the Lord blessed him, he continued to play drums for the church. He drives a beautiful car, has a wife and three girls, and still removes his jacket, brings the wife, removes the jacket, go to the drum and start. Some people give up God's work when they see some penye blessing. Or some people abandon God's work to pursue money and chase investors and things, and they abandon the work God has given to them. They abandon God's work and they are chasing people all over the place. It doesn't work that way. Still be doing what you are doing and believe in God. Service in the house. Luke chapter 1. Verses number 5. The Bible says something. Luke chapter verse 5. Look at it. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." Are you there? "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years." Theologians put it at over 30 years of believing God. Some put 20, some put different. Theologians put different years. But the Bible, it says that they were now well stricken in years. "And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office," it means that as a priest, he was executing his duty, and even though the wife was not taking seed, he still was executing the priest's office before God in the order of his course. It was in the execution of the priest's office, according to the custom of the priest, his lot, his job was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. Not thy prayer is going to be heard. That means that from the first day you started believing God for a child, your prayers were heard. There are people whose manifestation is timed by God. It's what? Timed by God. To a certain kairos moment. Because you don't know the mind of God. God has intentionally decided that for this to happen to you, I will wait until this happens to this. Our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts, your thoughts. All this time, Zacharias and Elizabeth didn't know that God was waiting for Mary, who was 5 years old, to grow to be 19 years, so they can wrap God in the form of a man into her womb. They didn't know that. So the vessel that must carry Jesus was still a baby. Was not ready. She was five. Theologians put it between 2 to 5 years. So God has to hold on to the miracle of Elizabeth, because that which was going to be born through Elizabeth was supposed to be a forerunner to the coming of Jesus. So your prophetic manifestation can be timed to God's own kairos moment. There is a reason for the delay. Not all delays are demonic. There are delays that are divine. That is why sometimes you have to pray, Father, if this thing cannot happen to me now, then let thy will be done. It's also part of, there is a reason. Because you have done everything. Look at this. They were both righteous before God. They served God blamelessly. They served God in every way, but they had no child. But they didn't know the mind of God. They didn't know the dealings of God. So to them, how can God treat it? I mean, we've waited. And now the Lord comes to him. The Lord didn't come to him in his kitchen, in his bedroom, on the field, in a beer bar, in a whatever. But the Lord came to him in the temple where he had been serving for years. Continue to do what you are doing whilst waiting for your manifestation. Continue singing. Continue ushering. Continue. Even if you are transferred from here to another region and CM is not there, look for another church and continue serving God there. Serve God anywhere you go. Be in the house of God. Still waiting for God to show up. And you will see that in his own time, he makes all things beautiful. That is the beauty of God. If God had allowed you to marry that guy, it would have been a disaster. Because that guy is callous and wicked. But you didn't know. Because you were sleeping with him, it clouded your judgment. Sex can cloud your judgment. You don't even see what the guy is doing. Because you are sleeping with the guy. That is why, if it is possible, withhold your sexuality and study the guy very well before you go and lie down. But in our modern generation, somebody can meet somebody within a week or two, they are sleeping already. What's wrong with you? A total stranger. You are kissing already. Do you know what is in his saliva gland? Do you know that hepatitis B is transferred through tears and saliva and semen? And hepatitis B can kill you faster than HIV AIDS. So when you are kissing a stranger, you must go and do saliva test to see whether he has hepatitis B. Before you go kissing everybody. Tears, semen, saliva can be transmitted to you through hepatitis B. You have kissed over 37 guys. You have few and no sawano yasa. And then when you are sleeping or you are fornicating, you fornicate foolishly. No protection. Do you know what the guy is carrying? Do you know what the guy is carrying? In his semen. Stop that rough there. The guy can be HIV positive. The guy can be carrying. Some of these guys, they are sex maniacs. They sleep with anything that is ladylike. They are possessed. One of the surest ways by which a spirit can be transferred to you is through sex. One of the fastest ways for you to inherit somebody's demons is through sex. So sex, your sex life there, you must preserve it. You must have self-control. If I don't sleep with you, you go to another girl and go and do those things. But I have to preserve my mind. Then let him go. If he doesn't have sex with you because of that, that's one. Then let him go. It means he's not meant for you. After sleeping with you, when he gets tired, he will go to another person. Am I talking to somebody here? So keep serving God. I don't know why I diverted into this area. Keep serving God. Somebody needed it. It's possible. It's possible that somebody needed it. Serve God. Whilst waiting for your breakthrough. And when Mary was 19 years, then God said, Gabriel, go to Zechariah and tell him that the time is up. God is visiting somebody this year to tell you your time is up. This is your year that you shall see the manifestation. You have waited for a very long time. Now this is your Kairos moment. Kairos moment. Because you've been serving God for years. And what the Lord loves is that through thick and thin, you are faithful to the vow you made to him. There are some protocol people who came here and we anointed them and they made vows, whatever. They have resigned from the protocol and they are looking into the air and they are doing their own thing. What an embarrassment. What a shame that you have abandoned the ministry. I was telling you at the convocation, you don't resign from God. 1 Timothy 1:12. Look at it. 1 Timothy 1:12. 1 Timothy 1:12. 1 Timothy 1:12. Look at it. The Bible said, 1 Timothy 1:12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who had enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who counted him faithful? God. And who put him into the ministry? God. It wasn't Reverend Steve Mensah who put you in the ministry. You don't resign from God. You don't resign from God. It was God who gave you the ministry. So, when you are doing ushering work, you are singing at the temple choir, you are coming from Eza, it's unto the Lord, not unto the twins. Please. The hands here, they are serving God. We are all laborers together with God. Only that in the laboring field, there's a chief laborer. And I'm privileged and honored to be your chief laborer. Laboring for the Lord. And we are all accountable to God at the Bema judgment seat of Christ. My job is to declare his word. Say amen. I woke up at 3 a.m. today. After arriving, I was in Nigeria from Tuesday to Friday. Drove from Ibadan to Lagos. Flew from Lagos. We started traveling from more, whatever. Came home very exhausted, had headache, slept. I slept in my clothes. That's my wife. The one I came from, I slept in. I woke up at 3 a.m. I started meditating on the scriptures that I'm going to preach. I'm not joking with what I'm doing. I'm preaching. Then I had a call. Then Mike reminded me that you are blessing my mother. I said, hey. So when I came, I took my jacket and wore my official robe as a bishop to bless them, this marriage. Afterwards, I took it off and I wore my preaching jacket. And I'm preaching. When you have gone home to go and eat lunch, I'll be preaching at the second service. After preaching at the second service, I have a series of meetings here. I enjoy working for the Lord. It's a delight. I am honored that God has put me in the ministry. And you want to resign. You want to resign. And do what? And what is the reason for your resignation? Your boss? Your work? What is it? Your children? You cannot compare working for God to anything else in this world. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. And I will serve. Serving God is like marriage. I will serve God till I die. Say amen. Those who are fair weather Christians, when the atmosphere is good and business is going well, then you are all over the place. As soon as you face some challenges, then you abandon the ministry. No, 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 no. Continue to serve God. Even though you haven't seen the manifest, continue to serve God in the capacity in which you have. Continue to serve God. And at the time appointed, the Bible said, and the Lord visited Sarah and did unto her what he, the Lord, has promised. Zachariah didn't believe it. Visited Elizabeth. Elizabeth conceived. I'm talking about two things. Abraham and Sarah and Zacharias and Elizabeth. Say amen. So please, whatever you were doing, serving God, supporting, giving, give. Give even when you are broke, give to God. God is watching you. Will you give to him when you have abundance, or you will give to him when your money is small? Say hallelujah. The Bible says in Job 22 verse 28. Job 22 verse 28. The Bible says something. Thou shalt also decree a thing and it shall be established unto thee. And the light shall shine upon thy ways. Say amen. It is in the serving God that you shall decree a thing. It is in your service to God, because you must stand on something to decree a thing. Hallelujah. The Bible said in Colossians 3, 23, 24. I'm finishing. Colossians 3, 23, 24. Look at it. Colossians 3. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And not unto men. Hallelujah. 24. Knowing that of the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You see, Paul's letter to the church in Colossians was emphasizing that your work is unto the Lord, not unto men. Your work is unto the Lord, not unto men. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily. The word heartily means do it from the depth of your heart. As to the Lord. As to the Lord. Everybody say, as to the Lord and not unto men. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, chapter number 6, verse 9, my last scripture. Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In due season, do not be weary. The way weary may do not be tired, overwhelmed with well doing. What is the well doing? Serving God. Because in due season, and this year is your due season, because you haven't fainted. Are you there, worshippers? My daughter, Jamila, you came from, is it Tamale? When you were, is it Tamale you came from? No, what I meant to say that you, many years ago, you came from Tamale Secondary School. You were then about 18 years or so, and you joined the worship team. Started serving God in the choir, in the worship. Then you got married. You had your first child, second child, third child. Still, you are serving God in the choir, as a worshiper. She has two roles. She serves God in the worship team and still wears the robe to join the choir. Sometimes I see her going to go and change quickly. She was never there. She was quickly to join them. With three children, working as an executive secretary to a prestigious company, very busy, still coming to rehearsals. Choir rehearsal, worship rehearsal. How will God not bless her? Since 18 years, a teenager. I still remember her when she came. That is how to serve God. Serve God till you are old. Serve God till you can't walk again. Serve God on your bed when you are dying slowly. Serve God. God bless you. Love you all. Shall we rise?